Worms. 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 Worms.
Meow.
Worms. Worms. We get an echo there. Echo. I'm getting an echo.
Yes.
Get an echo. Turn off speakers.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Speakers. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour.
Yeah.
Broadcasting twice.
Apparently.
From Podbay 2A.
Yeah.
A mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. On the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista, we alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Please, put on your 3D glasses now and put on two sets of headphones.
Yeah. You guys hear an echo?
We warm... Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Lou? Michael? Lou?
Bad touch.
Worms.
The
bad
Freedom
echo.
Fiends is not on. Once but twice covered by a bip. There we go. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. I think the echo's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, board ops better fight for $15 an hour because they're earning it here.
Ooh. 15 buttons a month.
Shots fired. So I got a cat. I got a new black cat. I got two cats. I got BIPCAT, the white and black cow kitty. This is Michael W. Dean. And also got, she got fixed a month ago. She's all fixed from being fixed. And now we got a male black cat named Beast.
Or his. You got another cat?
Yeah, his full name is Beastie Boy Dean. That's how he is on the, Derek, come down. You're too high. That's how he is on the vet form, is Beastie Boy Dean. Because my vet's a Christian, and I didn't want to scare him by telling him my name is Black Cat Beast. And, he might think I'm going to, like, do sacrifices with it. Although, people that are going to do animal sacrifices probably don't first spend $200 on, you know, shots and tests and getting the cat fixed. Oh, Beastie Boy, are you recovering? He's got the cone of shame on. So the name of tonight's show is Please Neuter Your Pets and Statist Friends. And statists, of course, are people who love the state. And I have a pet care tip today. So if your cat drags, you know, we get these little toys that have, they look like a mouse, but they're made of fabric, and they have a little pouch, and you can put cat drugs in there, you know, catnip. If you have one of those, and for some reason, one of the cats likes to drag it down in the basement and wash it like a raccoon in the puddle that comes out of the air conditioning unit and drains into the drain in the basement, when you end up with a soaked, wet, mousy, and you put it on the picnic table in the fenced-in backyard to dry in the hot, almost summer sun, don't be surprised when you go out 6 hours later and it's gone, because that weird Kittler cat in the neighborhood probably jumped over the fence, grabbed the toy, and ran off with it. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So don't do it, kids.
Keep your paws off.
Yeah, man. Do you got a cat, Derek?
No, I wish. I have one in my head. Lysander Cooner is his name, because he's going to be a Maine Coon.
Not Meowie Rothbard?
No,
Lysander. That's Steve Miller's cat.
Oh, really? Cute.
Well, it's his roommate's cat. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to have this Maine Coon, but it's like a test of a relationship, you know, to have. It's like before you have a kid, you would have like a pet, you know.
You know, this is something they say in AA. They say that you shouldn't get in a relationship in your first year, although banging the hot black girl about 2 weeks sober is what kept me from relapsing, you know. But I'm 1/64th black, and my new cat is 64/64th black. But they tell you in NA meetings, especially, but also AA meetings, and this is not in the NA or AA book. I think this is like cross-pollination from group therapy or something. But they tell you, don't get in a relationship the first year. Get a plant. If your plant doesn't doesn't die, get a pet. If your pet doesn't die, you're ready for a relationship.
Well, I'm in a relationship, but it would be too testing to have an animal, a third part, a dependent on us. You know, he'd be cute and cuddly and fun, but, like, we'd have to, you know, take care of its entire life. And it's got a whole lifespan, so I want to really make sure that, you know, that we're in it.
This cat I just got, the black one especially, could easily be alive when I'm 70. Think about that. I'm 52. Cats routinely now, if they're indoor only and have vet care regularly, routinely live to, like, you know, 17 to 20 years.
I'm going to beat mine regularly. Unusual. I think that shortens their lifespan.
Don't even joke about that, man.
No, I would.
I'll kill you. I will kill you.
I know you love kitties. No, I would.
I'll kill you. There's a state rep here who shoots cats. I stopped being his friend when he told me that. Feral cats, but
I would stop being his friend.
Yeah. You know what? I don't really have that much of a moral issue at all with shooting feral cats. I have a problem with the fact that he gets pleasure out of it.
Yeah. It's not a game. I mean, there are targets you can shoot that don't hurt anybody.
Oh, he has those duck-shaped targets and stuff. I've gone shooting with the guy.
Well, target shooting is fun, but not. I mean, like, live targets, that's not okay. I don't think that's okay.
Lou, you got a comment? I can hear you breathing, thinking.
I was just going to say, shooting feral representatives.
Ooh, and of course you're kidding. We don't recommend on the Freedom Fiends to shoot any feral representatives.
Or state representatives either.
How about support the right to arm cats?
Yeah, they should be able to fight back.
Yeah, and so, Derek, you're gay. And you have a AK-47, or is it an AR-15?
AR-15.
You statist. That's a government gun.
Yeah.
People shouldn't own AR-15s, because there are much better rifles out there.
Like what, Michael?
Like a Mosin Nagant, or an AR-15, an AK-47, or a... What's the thing some Ben Stone likes? The SKS.
The SKS. Okay, so the AK-47, would that be because that was carried by the Soviets and many of the Eastern Bloc militaries, wouldn't that still be a government gun?
Yeah, I know, but it's my problem with an AR-15 is not that it's a government gun, it's that it's a yuppie gun, man. It's insanely expensive, and it's like a Ferrari. Like, yeah, it can go really fast, it really accurate, but you have to take really tender care of it. Whereas, like, an AK-47, like, you can throw it in a mud puddle and take it out and clean it with your boot lace dipped in motor oil, and it'll work fine. That's not a joke. That's,
okay. All right, I won't argue that point, because the AR-15 is entirely too temperamental. It's like a supermodel.
Yeah,
it has a staff that has to go around and kiss its butt and tell it how beautiful it is.
Do you ever walk around with a rifle on your back, Michael? You
can but I drive around with when I'm not with my wife. I usually drive around with one on the passenger seat.
Or a cat on your shoulder.
A cat on my shoulder.
Yeah. My favorite thing about New Hampshire so far since living here is that I can walk around with basically any gun and nobody says anything. I went to get sushi tonight and I had a big 1911 open carrying on my hip.
Well, talk about
going out on a date with my partner.
Yeah, that's called the government model. That's literally the name of that 45.
Well,
you gays and your government guns.
I am for government, for self-government.
So how could things, real quickly, let's get it out of the way. Yeah. How could things have gone differently with this Orlando shooting, you gay with a gun?
Well, if any of the gays at that club were like me, they might have a gun on them, and they would have a fighting chance if they were locked in a bathroom somewhere with someone trying to
chase
them
down.
What
about, like, catty, drunk queens, you know, armed when they, you know, who get in fist fights and cat fights?
They typically have a designated driver with them.
That's what
anyway.
I was going to say, a designated gun carrier. That's what you need when you go out to the gay bar or any bar with your friends.
Everyone's
you have the sober guy
driving you got the crazy
and carrying
friend.
A gun. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Crazy friend, normal friend, you know, somewhere in between with the rest of them.
The designated driver probably, like, maybe he's really self-righteous, too, and you have to put up with that. Like, he's like, I don't drink. You know, because generally, like, designated drivers, the theory is you take turns with it, but... you know, so, like, the designated driver is the guy having a lousy time, like, you know, sipping a Diet Coke. But there's also people that don't do any drugs like me. Like when I, you know, first got in recovery, like I was the designated driver for my drunk friends when I was still bothering to hang out with drunk people, which I wouldn't do now. But, you know, I got to go out and they'd buy me sodas and I'd complain about the bar.
I don't drink, how loud so it was. I can carry. But, you know, and I've never been happier to violate the law, to carry concealed or to carry discreetly into places where I'm, you know, supposedly not allowed.
That's not necessarily violating a law, though. That's like
violating property rights.
I don't have the government permission slip to carry a gun discreetly. I have to carry it openly, according to the law.
Well, you say,
I said it's a violation of property rights.
Yeah, but is it? Is it really? Don't you have a like a property sphere that follows you around? That's like 3 feet wide.
Yeah,
I do. I have a nation of one, man.
Derek,
it's called Nestlandia. It's a nation of two with my wife.
It just made me feel really good. Like sometimes I felt like a weirdo or like I was doing something unnecessary or dangerous by bringing a gun places where it's not allowed. But never have I felt better about that decision than after this Orlando shooting, because I know I wouldn't be a victim like those people were. And it's very sad, you know, that they were left disarmed. But, you know, it's a reminder to those of us who are still around that we have the personal responsibility to defend our own lives, and the police can't always save you, so don't depend on other people.
Wasn't there an off-duty cop with a gun there? What has he done for me lately?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What'd he do?
I don't know. Maybe he tried.
Hide in the corner and go, ooh!
I don't know. Maybe he tried his best and just was unable. But frankly, I don't want to depend on someone else. I want to depend on me.
So are there really, like, screenshots of Grindr chats between, like, gay dudes and the guy who did the shooting? Is it true that he's a self-hating Muslim gay guy?
And that's why he shot people? Surprise me.
That's what Miller said. He said there are screenshots of the guy, like, you know, looking for a good time on Grindr.
Hmm. I want to look that up. I haven't heard that yet, but it makes sense. It's always guys like that. You know, the ones who hate the gays the most are the ones who have a little inkling of it inside them, and they're a little uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, I'm 164th gay. I'm 164th gay, and I'm totally comfortable with it.
Although, I heard that he wasn't... There was some statement that he said it was about the war in Afghanistan or something. It wasn't really about gays. Like, he doesn't really hate gay people.
Then why didn't he go after a recruiting center?
That's what I'm thinking, but maybe he's thinking like a terrorist and just trying
Not that he should. I'm just saying, like, isn't that what the logical
thing
hey, would be?
Yeah, well, the people in 9/11 didn't go after a government building
That's
either.
True. Worms, we'll be back to talk about
You're
the feelings
to Freedom Fiends.
Of people.
Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So, some guy did an article called something like, it was the guy who never fired a gun. It's called something like,
I still don't think he has.
It's called, I fired an AR-15 and it was terrifyingly loud and horrific to fire. And I'm like, really? AR-15s, man? Try a Mosin Nagant. It'll break your shoulder. It'll break your soul, you little puss. Statist. You should be neutered. Libertarian eugenics.
I think he already has been.
There you go. He's a cuck. So, we're going to talk about feelings. Now, Derek, I thought I hurt your feelings today, so I was going to call you, and you wrote me before I had to call you and check, and you said, nah, man, I'm all fine. And what did you say about the cookie that is you.
I'm a tough cookie with a soft, chewy core.
Yeah.
It's not impossible to hurt my feelings, but it's pretty tough. I mean, I'm rough.
I'm going to try. You gay. You're gay. You're so gay.
That's true. I wear that.
Yeah. So, I'm not gay. Not much. Like 164th. I did Googling.
Since we're saying gay, I want to confirm that I did some Googling.
That you are gay? You took a test online?
It's fact.
100%. Does the man that's living in the same house with you... No, sorry.
Go on. No, the shooter, the guy in Orlando who attacked everyone, Mateen, his ex-wife says that he is gay. He went on a date with a classmate, a male classmate, 10 years ago, and that he used Grindr and Jacked to meet men online and was friends with drag queens at the club where he shot a bunch of people.
I don't even know what Jacked is. Like,
It's another Grindr. Like, there are multiple dating apps based on your...
It is to Grindr what Lyft is to Uber.
No, because there's, like, differences. Like, there's Growler if you're a bear-type person. Jacked if you're muscular.
And then there's Twizzler if your kink is sharing licorice with people.
That's exactly right.
It's T-W-I-Z-L-R. You always got to take out one vowel to name a new app. Yeah. All right, so...
Our feels. It's good. It's good to have feels. You know, I always ask people, you know, when I'm starting a conversation with somebody new, how you feeling? You know, and get them in touch with like making them think, that. How am I feeling?
Yeah, it's not unmanly to have feelings, and it's not, it doesn't make you a social justice warrior liberal for Hillary. That's a problem. Okay, so here's what's happened in society since I was a kid. When I was a kid, I'm 52. When I was a kid, when I was in community college, which is basically high school with ashtrays, there was, you know, I mean, you could do anything. Like, you know, I once walked naked across my campus and nobody had to go hide in their safe space. I just wanted to do it one day. So I did it. And I didn't get, you know, I didn't have to register as a sex offender. I didn't get like called before a committee of feminists to like, you know, censor my wang. Nothing like that. It just happened. You know, you could say what you wanted and do what you wanted back then, and you could, and your professors could, and, you know, someone might tell you to shut up, but nobody would, like, you know, invoke a tribunal to, like, protect my feels, and they didn't have to have a safe space with puppies and cookies and, you know, fluffy pillows, and that's literally, like, something that people demand they have on campuses now. There was no such thing as a microaggression. Now, I'm going to do some Hubert Selby Freedom Fiends bingo card here and mention Hubert Selby. So one of the interesting things that I came across in making that movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, was I got a hold of a stack of letters back and forth between Selby and his childhood friend, Gil Sorrentino, who's dead now of cancer, who's in the movie, though. He died shortly after the... He, like, never got to see the completed movie. He died while I was making it. Three people in that movie died by the time it came out. That's what happens when you make a movie about people in their 70s. You know?
What did you do to them?
No, it wasn't like the curse of, you know, what is that movie? The war movie, Apocalypse Now. No, it wasn't like a cursed movie. It was like I was interviewing people who were all friends who were 75 and older. So, you know, the chances are if you interview 25 of them in a year, three of them might be dead. So it's just statistics. It's chaos, you know, chaos and statistics. It's what
the movie was going a little over budget, you know, you had to
Come on, man.
To cut corners.
Come on, man.
That's how long it took him to do the post-production.
Yeah. So, but I got to see this amazing,
it's like a DMV.
This amazing private pile of letters between Selby and his childhood friend, who was also his editor on Last Exit to Brooklyn, who was also a college professor of English and, like, you know, really smart man of letters, let's say. So I got to see these letters back and forth. And one of the letters Selby said in, like, 1985, he was asked to speak at Occidental College, where Obama went. And, like, he was yelled at by feminists. Like, that's how long this has been going on. Like, it's not new, people. We'll be back to talk about my feels.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a Yak army, building a cult following of Yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet Yak Emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vidotti and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
We're OG libertarians. So, Derek, speaking of guns.
Meow.
You ever seen Innocence Betrayed?
No.
It's a good movie.
You mean figuratively or literally?
No, the movie. It's on YouTube. Go watch it. Innocence Betrayed. It's from JPFO. You know who they are?
They sound I don't know.
Jews?
Is that a terrorist organization?
No. Well, actually the Southern Poverty Law Center thinks they are. It's the Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. It's people we would like. They're like so uncompromising that like they make the NRA look like a bunch of Hillary Clinton fans.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I'm chapter of New Hampshire Pink Pistols, and we're friends. Good. Yeah.
Well, that's the script. A lot of people have seen that, but don't know that the script for that movie was written by Claire Wolfe, who is a friend of the Fiends, a fan of the Fiends. We're a fan of her. I'm a fan of hers, and she's an OG libertarian. Like, she's been writing. Put it this way, without her, there wouldn't be Cop Block, because she inspired Boston Tea Party to start writing like 18 years ago. He started writing, you know, she was writing before that about liberty stuff. She said like 18 years ago, we're at this awkward stage in democracy. It's too late to change things by voting and too early to shoot the bastards. And she said that 18 years ago. I haven't asked her if she's, you know, if it's. Well, let's take your temperature now, but she wrote the script. She wrote the script for that movie, Innocence Betrayed, and she also wrote the book Rats, the guide to recognizing snitches, informers, informants, and agents provocateur that we advertise free for her for public service. It's a free ebook from rats-nosnitch.com. So check it out.
So what's so cool about Innocence Betrayed?
I don't know.
It's a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's like a feature-length movie with actors showing why gun control will lead you to the camps.
Huh.
Basically.
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm an admin of this Facebook page, LGBT for Gun Rights, and we've been getting flooded with messages and likes, and it's pretty cool that a lot of people are having a discussion about this sort of thing, but there will always still be someone who's like, yeah, I don't think you guys should have guns. And I'm like, how dare you? You know, after a bunch of people just get murdered, use this as a political, like, oh, I want to disarm you now. Like, that's not going to help. And it's rude.
I saw a really good one today that just challenges the statist logic that anybody listening, I welcome to steal this and borrow it and use it for arguing with your weird statist friends before you have to neuter them. So typical statist statement is only a paranoid idiot would think you need an AR-15 in case the government gets too tyrannical. And then you ask that person, what do you think of Donald Trump? And their answer is likely to be, I think he's literally Hitler.
Yeah, I've seen that meme.
Yeah. So, Lou, you got something to read from this article about how horrifying and how the feels are hurt by a liberal firing an AR-15 for the first time?
Hey, are we making fun of feels or are we respecting feels? I'm confused. No,
well, I want to lead up to why. Okay, let me just skip it. Lou, do you got something real quick to read from that one line, one paragraph?
Sure. The opening line, it felt to me like a bazooka and sounded like a cannon. Okay, man. He needs to report for gender reassignment immediately. I'll give him that these things are loud, but a bazooka? Seriously?
Yeah. Okay, so I went to the the hearing doctor yesterday because I'd lost one third of the hearing in one of my ears. And the first question they asked me was, do you use firearms? And, you know, doctors have asked me that before. And I'm like, I don't see why that's relevant. I'm not going to answer it. But I actually answered it with this doctor because it is relevant, you know, it's to a loss of hearing. But I always use protection. Everyone should always use protection, especially when making sweet, sweet love with statist friends and relatives. If you're not neutered. I'm neutered, though. I had my... not my nuggets removed like a cat, but I got a vasectomy like 22 years ago, so I can complain about all these children in my way. I kind of think of children, like everyone says they're a blessing. I kind of think of them as like, ew, children, when I see them. I kind of think of them as pollution. We just lost, like, that just got us kicked off a station, I'll bet, because people really think children. I don't think all children are pollution, but the older I get, the more I'm like, you damn kids, get off my lawn. Really, man. So,
I'm encouraged by families. I see lots of like happy families and kids running around. I'm like, yeah, the future generation. They're going to be okay. They're going to be smart and cyborgs.
Stick around for 20 more years, and Derek, you'll turn.
As long as they're homeschooled, they'll be
things
okay.
Things are going good.
As long as they listen to the Fiends, kids that listen to the Fiends are not like pollution. That's what I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
They have access to the internet. It's harder to brainwash.
I know. But no, that's why they're yelling for universal like pre-kindergarten now, cuz it makes it easier to brainwash them. So, Mafeels. So there's this thing now of like, you know, people say it's hate speech if you disagree with them, literally, and they're outlawing dissenting opinion on campus. Like, campuses used to be the place where, like, the only place there was free speech, you know, like in the 60s and 70s. And the reason professors had tenure originally was so they could talk about controversial topics without getting fired. Now it's completely the opposite. Like, although what used to be controversial used to be kind of leftist along with anti-war and freedom stuff, which is, you know, universal good values, and pro-legalization of drugs and stuff like that, you know, stuff we like. But now that that's the entrenched norm, if you challenge any of that, if you're at all conservative or libertarian or pro-gun, they consider that hate speech and want you drummed off of campus and forced, you know, like, it's like, oh, my feelings are hurt. I need to go to my safe space. So there's an incredible overreaction to, like, anything that, you know, challenges someone's feelings or rustles their jimmies or whatever. Lou, I hear you breathing.
There was a perfect Onion article that encapsulates this concept. Headline, college encourages lively exchange of idea. Students, faculty invited to freely express single viewpoint.
Yes. That's pretty much it. So
state speech is hate speech.
Yeah, state speech is hate speech. So there's a backlash to this whole thing, which is, it's really common among the alt-right, which are like people who used to be libertarians but now want to vote for Trump and worship Adolf Hitler. Those people like make fun of, you know, liberals expressing their feels, and a lot of libertarians do too. I've done it. But it gets to the point with some people, especially the alt-right types, especially and or young males who still live at home or are in college or have just left home, like haven't really, you know, paid their own way and suffered in the world much yet and have had kind of a free ride to sit around and criticize and just, you know, swipe left or right on the world, and that's all they've contributed. And the thing that they do that I find really disgusting is anybody who expresses feelings, even valid feelings, they say like, oh, you cuck, you stupid, you know, you're a neutered male, you're like, you know, like they go into this whole diatribe of or monologue.
It's fear.
It's fear.
It's got to be fear. You know, they're afraid of their own feelings. They know.
I know.
They know what it's like to be sad or scared.
No,
and
they don't.
Yeah, they do, and they're afraid of it. They're afraid of their own feelings, I think. I mean, maybe I'm projecting. I think I've been in that place where, you know, I'm making fun of people who have feelings, and I think I'm so cool because I'm stoic, you know, and try and keep an even keel about things and not show emotion. But I think I grew out of that into a better place where, you know, I feel emotion and like respect that and respect it in others, you know. And it's like, that's what's being human. I was saying this earlier that dead people wish they could feel anything again. You know that's
no, they don't. They're dead. They
machines,
feel nothing.
Machines like Data in Star Trek. You know, that's all they want is to know what it's like to feel. So if you're going through life trying to hush your emotions and make fun of people who have them, you know, I think you're missing out, and you don't get that time back.
Yeah.
So go feel.
Absolutely. And you know, the woman who's kind of become the poster child for everything that's wrong with the liberal muffials, that lady Melissa Clark, that college professor, the professor of communication. Click. Melissa Click, the professor of communication. Funny name.
Oh, God.
Funny that she is so against communication, being a professor of it. The one who said, you know, who like kicked, said it's a free speech zone and kicked a journalist out of like an outdoor.
Yeah, she has to get some muscle to kick a reporter out.
Well, she Nathan the Ninja Squirrel just sent me this article. She apologized on the Washington Post, or an article a couple months ago, but she didn't apologize like for what, you know, for victimizing this dude or like hating the First Amendment or hating free speech or, you know, basically asking for him to be beat up. She apologized for being like too heroic. The article is called "What Would Our World Be Like If No One Ever Took a Chance?" These poor deluded people. Ugh, man. What do you think?
I'll be happy when the New World Order releases a bioweapon that cleanses the earth of all those weaklings.
What? Man,
tell us how you really feel, Lou.
Yikes.
How's your day going, Lou?
I can guess what your feels are right now, Lou.
Yeah. Let's talk about Lou's feels.
Yeah.
How's your feels, Lou? How you
doing? I'm triggered after reading this article about the AR-15.
You know what? I am so blissfully ignorant of what's going on with people's opinions about this shooting in Orlando. I actually knew about it before anybody outside of Orlando. I was awake and I got a news alert like while it was still going on.
Wow.
Which doesn't really say anything to me about me other than I'm in front of my computer at odd hours. But
I heard about it Sunday afternoon and didn't really know doodly squat about it until later on.
I'm not really in the debates with anybody. I don't even know what people are thinking and I don't really care.
I'm not debating anything.
The debates
anything,
are the same as
they
always
see
debates.
There's
got to
be
care.
Some CCTV cameras. There's got to be some footage of something that went on in there, right? Like, why hasn't it been released? I'm no conspiracy theorist. I'm willing to take on everything that they've said as absolute fact and true. But like, also, I'm curious.
Because you
like,
love the government?
No, I'm a recorder guy. Like, I love recording what's happening, no matter what it is. So this is a very interesting incident. I would like to see a recording, you know. And
well, the interesting thing too about like we used to think of you know like video footage as proof, but not only can it be altered, but I think even when it's unaltered, it can tell a different story depending on the footage of Levi Finicum getting murdered by state troopers with the FBI's help. To me, that clearly showed a murder, like a premeditated murder, like a setup, like they waylaid him and lied in wait. But, you know, and I don't think they edited it, you know, to like change it all. But most people who saw that were like, yes, I'm glad the government's protecting us.
Ugh. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com. We need government.
What?
We need government like we need a hole in our head. Although, I got a hole in my head yesterday that apparently I needed, unlike government. Did you guys know I got a hole in my head yesterday?
Where?
Do you hear about this?
I heard about it.
I talked about it last night on the show. I had a doctor punch a hole in my left eardrum, and insert a small tube. Yeah, to drain the state of spirits. No, to drain the fluid that is built up probably as a result of weaning off of prednisone. It's a really weird medical procedure. It's called a myringotomy, which sounds made up. Like, my ears are ringing. Okay, you need a myringotomy. Right, no, myringectomy. It sounds totally made up. Like, you know, I have feelings. I need a myfeelsectomy. But it's an actual procedure. And it's been around since the 1600s, like drilling holes in the head to let out spirits and using leeches. Although, unlike them and government in the future, this one has stood the test of time. And the weird thing is, my hearing is actually not only back to as good as it was before they sucked all the fluid out, it's better.
No, my hearing sound.
Oh, that was horrible. But my hearing is like cat hearing now. Like, I can hear, boy, I'm really gonna be like, I hear your heart beating, Lou, stop having your heart beat on the air. But it's not so just like really sensitive hearing. It's like it's like ultra stereo. It's like stereo music or radio programming. Most radio programming, the talk is mono, but the Fiends, the music's stereo. Or any TV show that's in stereo, like anything in stereo sounds like it's coming from in the middle of my head. It's really bizarre. It's cool though. It's like drugs.
Do you eavesdrop on other people's conversations all the time now?
Oh, constantly. Yeah. They're all talking about their mafials and their government and their flag and their troops and their flag troops and how much they love them. All right. So, most of our listeners would probably agree with the statement that a lot of Republicans like to ape, which is, I forget who said it. Well, you'll know the guy's name when I say it. I want government so small I can drown it in a bathtub. What's that guy's name? Lou?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. He was with some little mini status group.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he even retweeted something that you said. You're like, I'm so small government. I said I make
Ron Paul look like FDR, I think it was. No, it was him. It was Grover Norquist.
Yeah.
And I said, so small government, I make Grover Norquist look like FDR. And he thought that was hilarious and retweeted it. And then Davy Barker one-upmanshipped me and said that he said, I want government so small it's theorized about by particle physicists. And I tweeted that, and Grover Norquist retweeted that to his 50,000 followers. That was like, those were two high points of my year last year. So, or a couple years ago. But, all right. So, Republicans, small government Republicans say that all the time, but they don't really mean it because they want government big. Go ahead, Lou, take it. You shine in this stuff.
They want government to do what they want it to do.
Right.
Anything that they like is constitutional. Anything that they dislike is unconstitutional and tyrannical. So, for example, the small government conservative Trump supporters. You know, when Obama's doing gun control measures and demanding background checks and throwing people on the no-fly, no-buy list, you know, when Obama does it, that's tyranny. But when Trump does it, that's security.
Yeah.
So
those people better hope that Hillary wins. You know why? Because the Republicans will stop Hillary at every stand, like worse than they did with Obama. But Trump will do all the same things, and they'll just like throw open their legs and say, "Yes, Trump, take me." All the congressmen, yeah,
they won't stop them.
I know.
You know, so, there's a lot of Republicans out there that complain, "Obama's weak. Obama's weak." No, he's not weak. He was strong enough to shove Obamacare down their throats, and they were weak enough to let him. And you know, what did the Republicans do? They had the perfect opportunity to shut down the big nasty government during one of the budget debates, and they didn't do doodly squat. They just like, "Oh, okay. I guess we better, you know, get going just again because Moreau's."
Just the tip. Yeah. They say just the tip. So,
yeah, and here, have the shaft, too.
On the way to the next hour, I'll set this up by saying something that those small government Republicans always say is government's really bad at doing things, so it should only do the military, the roads, and international treaties. So basically they're saying government's really bad at things, so it should only do the most important things.
And I'm going to explain how the idea of statism and the night watchman state leads to the total state.
And then I'll ask Derek why he's a minarchist.
Oh, no.
Ooh, boy, shots fired. See, that'll get people to come back for the second hour. Because it sounds like there's going to be a fight, but it's going to be a big, greasy love fest, actually. Cat fight.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah, it calls it monarchy. Makes sense. Worms, we're too busy talking to do talk radio on the Freedom Fiends.
Feinstein, yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. But, you know, since we were talking about minarchy, this segment should be covered by a BIPCOT minimal government license.
Yeah, I think I need to issue a libertarian indulgence for this. The next two segments, especially the one after the half hour after this, last half hour of the show, because I'm going to be making the case for why Wyoming should legalize and tax marijuana. Ugh, I can't. I can't say that. Tax something. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Legalize. And it Derek, should just be off the books.
And Derek J. and I will be the good employees that we are, and we're going to back you up with minimal
interference.
Interference, yeah.
So tell me something about statists and AR-15s and how they were harmed and had their fields harmed.
One day after 49 people were killed in the Orlando shooting, and there's probably a fair number of them were killed by cops, but anyway, I traveled to Philadelphia to better understand the firepower of military-style weapons and hopefully explain their appeal to gun lovers.
But you mostly, travel to Philly from that?
Wow. But mostly, I was just terrified. Dun, 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 dun. And this is that article from Gersh Kuntzman, and it's titled, "What is it like to fire an AR-15? It's horrifying, menacing, and very loud."
This guy is terrified by something even little girls can do. When I went to an Appleseed shoot, this buddy of mine brought his 12-year-old daughter, and she was using an AR-15, and I was using a 22 rifle, LR, 22 LR, which is much less kick than an AR-15. 22
long rifle.
Yeah, 22 long rifle. And this little girl, and she was little for her age. She was 12, and she was, you know, thin and small. And she was kicking butt with an AR-15, and she wasn't wincing, and she wasn't running to daddy. And she was, like, she actually did her AQT that day. I didn't do it until, like, a year later. You know,
what
Army
is that?
Army qualified. Is it AQT or ATQ, Lou? You were in the Army. Thank you for your food service, for being a cook in the Army. AQT, right? Or you don't have to shoot if you're a cook, do you?
Yeah, I shot.
Yeah.
Shot at AQT. Nice.
You mean BRM?
No, I don't know. Anyway, she passed and I did that right. Day. Yeah. All right, so
I have something else to add. Another quote from the author, I guess you would call
it. Gun grabber.
Yeah. No, he doesn't want to grab guns. They hurt his dainty little fingers. Yeah.
He wants the recoil men to grab them for him.
Zip it.
Right.
The recoil bruised my shoulder, which can happen if you don't know what you're doing. Well, I'm glad you admit you don't know what you're doing. The brass shell casing disoriented me as they flew past my face. Yeah, kind of like mosquitoes in the summertime. The smell of sulfur and destruction made me sick. Well, get used to the smell of sulfur when you're in statism hell. The explosions, loud like a bomb. Oh, you mean like the Democrats like to drop, like Obama? Gave me a temporary form of PTSD for at least an hour after firing the gun. Just
post-traumatic
a few times,
statist disorder.
I was anxious and irritable. Even in semi-automatic semi-automatic mode, it is very simple to squeeze off 24 rounds before you know what has happened. If illegally modified to fully automatic mode, it doesn't take any imagination to see dozens of bodies falling in front of your barrel. But I mean, quite frankly, if you can squeeze off a couple dozen rounds before you know what happened, you really don't need to modify it. And by the way, it doesn't have a 40-round magazine, you dumb, stupid piece of humor.
Yeah, this person needs to go hide in his safe space and have a warm Coca-Cola and a blanket and a kitty cat.
Some people shouldn't have guns. You know, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying take them away, like they shouldn't be allowed to have guns, but like, you know, I don't play tennis. I don't have a tennis racket. If you're not into guns, if you're afraid of them, just don't have one. It doesn't mean you have to take them away from other people, you know?
Well, there is a theory that a lot of gun grabbing is projection, in that a lot of gun grabbers think if everybody had guns, people would be murdered in the streets all the time. And what that really means is they would murder people over parking places and things like that. I don't. Yeah. I carry a gun all the time. I get cut off in traffic. I don't shoot the guy. You know?
Why not?
Someone calls me a name. I don't shoot the guy. Why not? Because I don't live in Somalia.
Yet.
You're going to Somalia, aren't you, Derek? Fiend Fest Somalia?
Fiend Fest Somalia! Yeah. Happening this next week. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
There's going to be liberty, freedom, bacon, anarchists.
People who really want no government.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how small government Republicans say, like, they talk about government, like, they sound like anarchists. They're like, you know, they quote Ronald Reagan, who was such a statist, he expanded the government, he expanded gun laws, he raised taxes. I don't know why he's the conservative hero, but because he was an actor, handsome. And he played the role. He was in, yeah. He slapped women in films, too. I think men like that.
He is a conservative hero because that word is absolutely positively meaningless.
Yeah.
Hey, I got something for you here. Everybody loves Huffington Post because they're like
they have the best statist. Reviews of the best huffing glue. Like if you sniff glue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're just so brilliant. I mean, they're probably almost as brilliant as Salon.com. But anyway, they had an article that says, "We bought an AR-15 in Orlando in less time than you spend at the DMV." And one of the comments on that was, maybe there's something wrong with DMV.
Yeah, that's my thought. My immediate thought is, that says more about the DMV than it does about guns.
You know what? I bought a $18 toaster or $17 toaster a week or two ago.
You can kill yourself with that.
Yeah. Or no, it was a coffee pot. So anyway,
kill yourself with that.
Yeah, I'll die happily. But anyway, what's really nice is I can register my new coffee maker for warranty purposes for free. I could do it online. I don't have to stand in line. I could mail in a postcard, whatever. And, you know, it doesn't cost me anything extra to do it. So, like, the DMV is just, like, some kind of make work project. It needs to be shut down.
Yeah. So we three, the three of us, I believe, if I'm not talking about the mouse in my pocket, am I correct in saying that you guys and me, you guys are like me in that you don't want any government? Is that true?
Self-government. I don't know if we're going to use the, you know, get the
I'm really, term. Really strongly, like adamantly encouraging people to stop using the word government for things that aren't mandatory. I think that it makes it easier to allow government when you say things like self-government or governance or voluntary government. Those are all poison terms that should be only used, I think, for a gun to your head. Because otherwise, it convinces...
What? There's a governor, right? Like, there's something that limits or
not
controls.
On my car. No, okay. It's something else. I call it something else in my car.
I'm just saying the word has a meaning, and... It means
to hold you back on a car. A governor on a car holds you back.
Right. I'm the one to choose what I will hold back on. So that's why I use self-government. I use, or the other term, abolitionist. But whatever, yeah, I'm for no government. I mean, I know that's
Here's what I think. The thing about the word game of government is, you know, people say, I want voluntary governments. No, that's not a government.
Right.
If you got your police protection and your fire protection and your water and your trash pickup and your national defense from private organizations that were voluntary and you could pick from competing organizations, that would not be government.
That's the market.
Any more than your cell phone plan. Do you say, oh, I use the AT&T government? No, you picked a plan. You know, you picked this. And you would probably have, you know, lazy people that didn't want to do the research would probably pay a little more to have a package, you know, like I pick the Google governance plan, you know, non, like you wouldn't call it garbage. You'd say the Google plan
service plan
or the Amazon service plan. Yeah. You know,
all right, have
everything
I'm with
in
you.
One stop.
You convinced me.
Okay.
I'll stop using the term.
Okay. Lou, are you for no government?
I'm for even less than that.
Absolute 0 degrees Kelvin of government.
Minus government.
Well, wait a minute. Why do we have to define ourselves as, like, against something? Can't we be pro something? Like, I'm for
I like that.
Total human freedom.
I am for zero government.
I have a precedent for that, too, is Ian MacKay from the band Fugazi and Minor Threat, who's like the template for the totally independent musician. Like, that was the band that turned down $1 million from several major labels to keep putting out their own records from their house. That was the band that would never charge more than $5. They would never play a place that wasn't all ages, to the point where they would play, like, shows in print shops instead of bars, or, you know, shows in, like, people's backyards instead of bars.
So they changed the game by staying true to themselves.
They did. And, you know, they influenced Pearl Jam to, like, go outside of the system of Ticketmaster. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Pearl Jam. That was because they were friends with Fugazi. So Ian MacKay is in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. Okay, that's another bingo card thing there if you're playing the home version of the Freedom Fiends. So, you know, in that, I asked him, like, you know, so why are you anti-major label? And he basically said he wasn't anti-major label. It was just that, like, everything they put out is boring and it's anti-artist. It hurts the artist because, you know, there's all these, like, lawyers and copyrights and everything. And he's like, you know, we put out records, we pay the artist more per record and sell them for less because we don't have to muck around with copyrights and lawyers. And, you know, if somebody puts out a bootleg, we don't sue them and et cetera, et cetera. And, like, it just made so much sense to me, you know? He's not anti-major label. He's pro his label for his thing. And if you could opt out, like, if I could opt out, I don't want to move to Somalia. I want to opt out of the federal, state, and local government and be left alone where I am, you know? Why can't we do that?
You can.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, today I said...
Why don't you?
Lou, I hear you breathing. So today I said, well, because, you know, if I don't pay property taxes, they'll send men with guns and kick me out of my house and I'll be homeless. So am I a bad anarchist?
Move to Somalia. Move to Fiendfest.
Just go to Fiendfest and, like, create a circle and never leave.
Move to North Korea. No property tax. Or property.
Yeah. Or income tax. Or income.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiendphone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're back.
Doctor took my kitty's nuggets.
Oh,
he's recovering. He's got the cone of shame.
Kitty McNuggets.
Mm.
Two for a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, after you get that,
after your McNuggets fixed, are your McNuggets are under a buck.
Yeah. All right. So,
Mid-status.
Derek, why are you such a minarchist?
You are. That's I'm you, not. Michael. That's not
nope.
me.
Nope.
I am not a minarchist.
Why am I? First of all, let's define our terms. What's a minarchist?
Someone who wants minimal government. Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip. All right. So why are you saying I'm a minarchist?
You're a filthy, dirty, statist minarchist because you are calling for taxation of pot.
No.
And I think that's wrong.
No, I'm trying to make the argument that people in Wyoming would be better. It's kind of a Lou, what's that article about eating Irish babies? It's a modest proposal.
Okay.
You know the
this
article?
Is going well. Yeah, it's like when you propose eating babies, you know? It's a rational argument.
Legalized pot, eating babies. Yeah, more or less equal.
But they're Irish babies, so it's cool.
But they're Irish babies, and they're delicious.
You left that out. Okay.
I'm an Irish baby. I was an Irish baby. So, so I can say that. Yeah, I'm Irish and black, so I can say all those words. I'm black Irish. All right. So.
All right.
No, I want to make. All I'm doing is talking. I don't think that's really minarchist. And you know what else I'll say? I think it matters what you do more than what you say. Like, for instance, Rich Paul, your friend and mine. Rich Paul is a big old minarchist statist, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he wants government. Yeah. He wants to vote. He wants
in word. Right. In word, though, not deed.
Yeah, no, but he makes lesser of evil arguments all the time.
Well, so are you.
Nope. I'm not for people, for lack of laws. Like, and we're going to get into that in the next segment more. But,
okay.
Like, I think Rich Paul is a better anarchist than people who say, I would never do that, which is me and which is you and which is Lou, you know, who would never advocate for government because... He stood a test that a lot of people wouldn't stand. He was facing like 50 years in prison for drugs.
81 years.
And the FBI wanted him to wear a wire into his friend Ian's house, and he said, nope. How many people would do that? Not many. So that guy's a better guy, I think, than a lot of people who are like, I staunchly am opposed to all government. I'll let him have his lesser of evils argument because he actually, like, walked his talk. You know who's another who's done more for liberty, who's a big old voter and constitution licker, is my dad, Jack Dean. He's 95 and he's like, well, you know, FDR saved our farms, so come on, Dad. However, you know why he's done more for liberty than most theorist anarchists? Because he coined the term that has become like a cliche. It's so common now of Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And it's basically fill in the blank politician is a liar, a socialist, and his blank stinks. That's become a meme. So, Jack Dean, I tip the tip to you. Oh, that doesn't sound right. All right.
I wave my tip at you, sir.
Dad. Daddy. Ugh. Come on, man. See what you're making me do.
I tip my sacred cow at you.
But, Derek, you've done, like, really, like, minarchists. Like, you've gone to court in their terms.
Yeah.
You raised money.
I'm super minarchist. No, now that you
pointed out. You
raised
money to beg for a permit to carry a gun. I would never do that.
Raised money for? Oh no! Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I put up my own money, and I asked anyone who wants to donate.
I'm not calling you a beggar. It doesn't matter that you got money. How you got the money?
The point is, though, it affects more people than me. So if you think this issue, which was a gun rights issue in New Hampshire, where I was denied a concealed carry license, if you think this affects you, and it might, you know, you could donate to my trial, my case, my appeal against the government, because
so you're saying it's not minarchist because it helped people other than you?
It was a market activity because these people were investing in their own freedom. And
take the money out of it. Take the money out of that equation. You instead of just putting the gun in your pocket and shutting up, you fought several times for your right.
No. In addition to putting the gun in my pocket.
Okay. But you were still begging for a permission slip.
Yeah, why not?
Well, what's different than that and me begging for, or not begging, like insulting people for not legalizing pot? I don't even smoke pot, Derek. This doesn't help me. You could be said to be like, you weren't being a hero. You were doing it for you. I'm being a hero. I'm doing it for everyone else, man.
Yeah.
I'm
just yelling at people. So your argument is that people should be let out of jails for smoking pot.
Yeah.
You're going to help people get out of jail by taxing it? I mean, I don't understand. What's your argument?
Well, we're going to go to the free market, and then we'll come back and I'll tell you why I think there should be a more free market of pot in Wyoming.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Black cats matter. If you adopt a cat, consider adopting a black cat, because they don't get adopted.
And they're cute.
Afraid of them. They're really cute. My cat looks like a panther. Yeah. You know, people think that people are puss-pusses for having cats, but you know, if you die in your house, your dog will sit there and like respectfully just stand next to your corpse. Your cat will eat you within a day. They'll start with your lips and your soft parts. They're just wild beasts, man. They can't be tamed. All right. So, this show, The Freedom Fiends, is on about 30 stations nationwide, and it's on two stations in Wyoming, one in Casper, KVOC, and one up in, what's that town? Sundance, which is not where the Sundance Film Festival is. It's nothing to do with that. It's actually, Sundance is named after Robert Redford because he was in Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, which is based on a person who lived or stole in Sundance. I forget which, but we're on KYDT in Sundance, Wyoming, which is 25,000 watts. That's huge. And we're on KVOC in Casper, which is 1,000 watts. And between these two stations, they cover most of the state. And I worked really hard to get us on these two stations because I wanted to be on in my state. Free Talk Live isn't even on in Wyoming. Like, it's rare to have Liberty Talk in Wyoming. So I wanted to bring some because I care about where I live. And, you know, who knows? I might be arrested for free speech or some variation of it sometime. And, you know, I want people on the jury who've actually heard the ideas of Liberty. And someone will probably call that jury tampering. But it's not, because I don't know if I'll ever be brought before a jury. But, you know, who knows? I might be. So,
are you facing charges right now?
No. Not yet. But this, I propose 2-term limits. First one in office, the second in jail. That's a line from a song I wrote with my band, Right Arm of Wyoming.
That sounds like a Groucho Marx line.
It does. Yeah. First term in jail. So So this is part four of a four-part series. Now, I planned this for the last segment of this show tonight because the four live shows that we do during the week end up being the fifth show of the week, nighttime show of the week, which is a best of. So we get a night off, and it's 2 hours long, and the first half hour of it is the way it works is the first show of the week's first half hour goes into the best of, second show of the week's second half hour, third show of the week's third half hour, and fourth show of the week, this one, the fourth half hour. So this is the half hour that goes in the best of and gets played on the radio in Wyoming, unless we're preempted for NASCAR or rodeo. And if that happens, I'm just going to play this episode over and over until it ends up playing in Wyoming. So, Wyoming, you should legalize marijuana and tax it. And I don't really believe in taxing, and I don't really believe in legalizing. Like, I believe it should just be, what's the word for it when there's just no law on it? That's not even decriminalizing. What is that? Do you guys know? Is there a word for that?
Freedom.
Yeah, I think it should just be freedom. You know,
I would say like tomatoes,
but you know, there's laws about tomatoes too. try filling your front yard with tomatoes in most towns and see how long it is before the city does something about it. And try selling them without a permit, you know, on a street corner and see how long it is before they're taken away. And try selling a bunch of them and see how long it takes, you know, the Department of Agriculture to come in and inspect you. So I think there shouldn't even be any of that. I think marijuana should be more legal than tomatoes and untaxed. However, I would rather have marijuana legal and taxed in Wyoming. I don't even smoke marijuana. You must know that before I go into this whole thing. I'm not some stoner doing this for me. I'm not saying, oh man, legalize it, dude. No, I don't touch this stuff. I've been clean and sober for 22 years. I think pot's kind of stupid. I think it makes people kind of stupid, but I don't care. I think people have the right to make themselves kind of stupid, and it makes you less stupid and far less violent than alcohol, and it has far less bad physical effects. But mainly, I don't care. You know, if you think the government shouldn't be able to limit the size of your soda or the magazine on your gun or, you know, the size of your yard or how high it is or when you mow it, then it's logical that you shouldn't think the government should have anything to do with marijuana. So here's what's going on in Wyoming. This state was booming for years and years. It was called, the nickname is Oil City for Casper. And the whole state was like booming, man. Just like money pouring out of the state coffers. Like never had a state income tax here. Property taxes are extraordinarily low. You know, sales taxes are low. Like everything's like reasonable here. You know, the government intrusion, and you know, you could say, oh well, my minarchy. But you know what? I'd rather live somewhere where I can keep more of my money. If I'm going to have to live somewhere with the government, I'd rather live somewhere where I can keep more of my money than go bankrupt. You know, I had $20,000 in medical expenses last year, and if they do what they're planning to do now that the oil jobs have all left this state because the price of oil went down, like they're trying to add the politicians here are trying to add a state income tax. They're trying to raise property taxes. If they do a lot of that, my wife and I could end up losing our home. A lot of people could lose our home. You're hearing ads on the radio here now like you've never heard. Like you're hearing investment firms saying like, have you lost your job? Wondering how to keep your pension? Wondering how to keep your savings, you know, your whatever. Like that's not an ad that was here a year ago. You know, and there weren't politicians discussing adding a state income tax. They would have gotten lynched 2 years ago. But now, like, people are saying, yeah, we need to do that. But you know what? To the South, the state to the South, Colorado, has legalized marijuana completely and taxed it. And their coffers are booming. You know, and meanwhile, Wyoming is like spending weights and millions of dollars to add more cops, to pull over more cars on the border, to keep people from bringing something in that's going to get in anyway, that's eventually going to be legal. And because why? Why?
I don't know. Derek? Maybe they just don't need the extra cops. Maybe they could just do without growing government in Wyoming. And maybe the government in Wyoming is a little too big. Maybe it should... You know,
it is
look the other way. Maybe it could look the other way on pot and you know, these harmless, victimless crimes, leave people alone, stop doing so much, and it wouldn't be so expensive. Like, you know, like you said, they're making a lot of money in Colorado, and it's a lot better for, you know, I'm not for the state growing or having lots of money to play with and you know, stuff into bureaucrats' pockets. But if it means that innocent people who haven't harmed anyone don't go sleep in jail cells and have their families broken up, you know, for the rest of their lives ruined just for having a harmless plant in their pocket, that's a good thing. And I'm behind it.
The only way it's going to happen here, they're all hypocrites. So the only way it's going to happen here is if they can tax it. They're not just going to say, oh, freedom. I'm into gun freedom. I should be into pot freedom. No, they're not that smart, the politicians here. Like the Fox News, whenever they want to go to interview for a small government Republican, they get Congressman Enzi, who's one of the congressmen from Wyoming for like the last 50 years. And he talks a good talk, but he wants to like add an internet tax. How square is that? To like keep people shopping at local stores. Like Wyoming is such a low population, you can't get most of what you want at if it's anything specialty, it's not at Walmart, you have to order it, you know? That's not a small government move. Taxing the internet, taxing sales on the internet, that's square as hell, man. That's like a Hillary Clinton move. Enzi.
Not to mention, it sounds impossible.
Yeah, well, it's impossible to keep marijuana out, too. But the way that square politicians do this kind of stuff, where they want to force people to, you know, obey victimless crime laws, is they can only catch like 1% of the people, but the 1% of the people they catch, they ruin. Like,
so like
it's a felony to have an ounce of pot in Wyoming. Can you imagine that? Having an ounce of pot in Wyoming here, it's like having, you know, a concealed carry gun in New Jersey. It's the same thing.
Well, that could change overnight. You know, the politicians just have to, with the stroke of their pen, decide that they're not going to have these innocent people arrested. And it's not just about how much money the state would get, like the state bureaucrats, but businesses would actually move into Wyoming and create, there might even be, like we've seen in other states, cannabis tourism, where people will move there or will vacation there and frequent the businesses in those towns that, you know, are drying up, because that's where they can go and enjoy their recreation of choice without being hassled or without the risk of going to jail.
Here's why that is unlikely to happen. And Wyoming is literally the most conservative state. Like, you know, if you poll people on common conservative things and look at voting records, it's the most conservative state. It's not the squarest state. Some of the states in the South are more square, I would say. But Wyoming is very, really doesn't like outsiders, you know, and they really don't like gun grabbers. And who does? Gun grabbers should be shot. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is, what Wyoming would need to do to make that work is to allow pot to stimulate the economy here by just legalizing it or looking the other way. Jeremy pointed this out too. Like states that have done that, people move there to do it. Either people who are, you know, sick and need it medically, or people that just want to smoke every day are moving to Colorado and Washington from surrounding states and even from across the country and even from across the world, to be able to be there. And the people that do that, they're mostly gun grabbers. So what Wyoming would need to do to not have it be a problem is be the first state to like legalize marijuana and not have it affect your gun ownership. Because it does, like in Colorado, like you can't have a medical marijuana license and a concealed carry permit, or, you know, so you can get them, but then they might come take your guns away. So Wyoming needs to look the other way on that, because if you can be drunk in a bar here and have a gun, which you can in most bars, if there's not a sign telling you not to, you know, you should be able to smoke weed, which makes people far less aggressive and far less bad judgment-y, I think, than alcohol.
Wyoming really has an opportunity to be a leader, you know, that no one else do something that no one else is doing, which is allow people to keep their gun freedoms and enhance their freedoms with regard to recreational marijuana.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because Wyoming talks a big talk. Like, a big problem in Wyoming to most Wyomingites and to politicians is brain drain. Like, smart kids moving out. And it's like, why shouldn't they? You know, when you're going to arrest them for recreational marijuana, when you're going to, like, tell them how to marry, when you're going to tell them what to do with their life and how to think, why wouldn't they move somewhere else? We'll be back with the answer to that question on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Woof. Cock-a-doodle-doo. So, what's Bitcoin? Who wants to define it? Other than magical internet money for buying drugs.
That's what it is. It's a new kind of money.
Newish.
Yeah, I mean, on the scale of, like, human history, it's brand new.
Okay.
And it can be sent over the internet.
I tell my 95-year-old dad it's like email gold you can email.
Right. Yep. That is it.
Yeah. So,
It's also the largest
computer
currency. And isn't it the largest currency in the world right now? Like, the...
I don't know, but the... all of the computers combined mining it, their power is 250 times the power of the 50 largest supercomputers. That's pretty cool.
I think it's the largest computing network on the planet.
By far. Yep.
Yeah. But mostly, I mean, I think, to be honest, like, it got its big start because you can use it to buy things that you can't buy otherwise. Like
guns without any record of them.
Well, the AR-15 that you mentioned earlier, I was able to buy with Bitcoin. Nice. Legitimately, in a store in Texas, they take Bitcoin. You know, and like, so
I don't like that word, legitimate, boy. Legally, openly.
Yeah.
On the white, like, market.
Yeah, there was no shady business. Yeah. So it used to be that you could only buy things online with it, and still I think that is the majority of what people use it for. I can buy plane tickets and stuff online, but more and more people are using it in real life, you know, in over-the-counter type stores. Like, I use it to buy yoga.
Yeah.
That's what Bitcoin is. It's money on your phone, on the internet.
Yeah, you know, and people complain that it goes up and down in price a lot, but that's unlike government-issued fiat currency that just goes down in value slowly over time, to the point where, I'll link this in the notes, there's a site called dollartimes.com that has a calculator to see, you know, in a year in the past, I did the year I was born, 1964, what $100 then would cost now, and it's like $760. So money is worth, U.S. money is worth 1/7 what it was when I was born. That's not good. Yeah. But Bitcoin goes up and down, but it always comes back. So you, Derek, recently bought something online, paid for something online with Bitcoin. And we're not going to say the merchant because we're still trying to figure out. We think it's a one-time problem and hopefully they'll fix it. But they didn't ship you. You spent $150 worth of Bitcoin a month ago. They never shipped it. And I don't know if they ever would have noticed. Like, you asked me about it and I asked them about it. And they were like, oh, sorry, man, we never shipped this. What, you know, we'll refund your money. Or do you want it? And you're like, no, I need it now. So just give me the money. So they're giving you the money back, but they're giving it back by PayPal instead of Bitcoin. And it's worth like half what it was.
Yeah, that's not the same thing. I mean, I would kind of hope that if I gave someone something and then they were like, do you want that back? I'm like, yeah, they would give it to me all back. Like, give me back what I gave you. But I understand, you know, of course, that we were engaging in a transaction where it was priced in dollars. And so if you're refunding me the money, it should be, it could be in dollars. I understand. I'm not complaining or anything, but it is an interesting dilemma that happens.
It's an interesting dilemma. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I want to discuss for a minute is like I don't think that they did anything wrong, but I think that to really attract, isn't there an airline that does it differently?
Yeah, that's right. So, cheap, what's it called? Darn. Cheapair.com. Cheapair.com has been taking Bitcoin for plane tickets for years now. And if you cancel the tickets, they'll actually refund you in Bitcoin.
See, I think that's going up and beyond what they have to do. I think what this other merchant did is the minimum of what they have to do. But what that airline ticket company does is is great. That's better. But, you know, I really think that expecting to have your money back, you know, a month later in Bitcoin, like doubling your money, is basically a social contract telling them they have to hold your money in escrow. Because if the price of it went down by half, would you owe them money? No. So that's just a weird peculiarity of Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is worth what it's worth the second you spend it, and no more, no less, ever.
Worms.
That particular Bitcoin. All right, worms. Good show. Thanks, Lou.
Hey, no problem.
Glad we solved all of Wyoming's problems.
Yeah, we did, man. It only took you a half hour.